Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as every, at least every Friday possible, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And there are so many things going on in the world today. It's almost as if the people who control our reality are trying to get us to the point where we can't think at all. It's called cognitive dissonance. You have so many crises, you have so many facts, you're funneling into the minds of people. I mean, how do you deal with them? I mean, what's going on in Japan? Sydney over there recently, one of the major ministers resigned, saying, you know, they've, Sydney, instead of facing the problem we're having with radiation, they've simply raised the tolerable levels for our school children 20 times above what any other country in the world would. In other words, they can have 20 times as much radiation, and but it's all right because the government says it's all right, and it's wrong. And, of course, we have the problems in China. They're having real economic problems, and the problems in Europe. And certainly we have our problems here in the United States with the president's birth certificate, obviously fraudulent. And when that became obvious, then we had to catch Osama bin Laden, and everybody's concerned. Did this really happen, or is this simply another publicity stunt? And then we have the economic problems here in the United States, very real economic problems, and the rising price of gasoline. The only trouble is that recently, for some unknown reason, the price of oil fell. The decline in the price of gold and silver has really been dramatic. Anybody invested in them probably is convinced that they are going to lose their shirt. And so many problems that we have here in the United States and throughout the world. And, well, basically, how do you ferret any of the truth out, since you never know what is true and what is false? And we know the government, or at least the invisible government, controls the media, and they mold our reality. They form our tastes. They create the things that we believe. Our minds are molded. Our tastes are formed, or ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Well, to ferret this out so you can look at things clearly, we have Joel Skousen with us to actually tell us what's really going on and give us an honest perspective. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. It's good to be with you. A great introduction. Basically, we can't trust anything our government says anymore. I'm just appalled that the government putting out video recreations, which differs significantly from all the other different versions, at least, that have come out about this attack on Osama bin Laden. It reminds me almost of the CIA spending a couple of $1 million to create a false video of PW-800 showing a fuel tank explosion when, in fact, it was a missile. I mean, the government just spends millions of dollars to falsify the truth, and we simply have to cry. Our government is lying and continue to repeat it until Americans stop trusting what our government says. I mean, there's no doubt that Osama bin Laden is dead. The only question is, when did he die? I mean, this latest and final bit of military and political theater is merely the last in a long series of stories and opinions from 2002 to the present, announcing or pontificating about Osama bin Laden's death. Apparently, the establishment decided that maintaining the myth of the Osama threat had outlived its usefulness, at least compared with boosting Obama's ratings. What isn't gone, however, is the phony war on terror. A new boogeyman or false flag terror event even now will have to be invented in order to continue the justification that we are at war with the Muslim world. The only thing Americans can count on is that our own government will continue rampaging through the world under the guise of saving it from terrorists and tyrants, all of which have been created, provoked, and or sustained by our own dark side of government. The result, of course, will not be peace, but continual warfare into the future and the draining of what value remains in the American economic system. Well, at least, Stan, we won't have to endure any more of the fake Obama videos or fake tape recordings threatening the United States. We have documented in the past in the World Affairs Brief that numerous times the CIA has certified the veracity of various threats received from Osama bin Laden, and how various Arab experts have noted that the voice, the diction, the accent of the speaker is different from the few original recordings we have of Osama. It became obvious that the U.S. or its terror affiliates were in possession of at least one Osama lookalike who was used to produce whatever claims or threats the U.S. found useful to promote this war on terror. Tony Cartolucci, a BLN contributing writer, talks about our government's habit of faking reality to sway the public. He said, "We are knowingly told verified lies to invade and occupy Iraq. We are lied to entirely about the spontaneous Arab Spring uprisings, later admitted by the State Department as a pre-planned operation years in the making." And we also know, I might add, that according to Lord James, the British MI6 has been funding those Arab opposition groups for years to the tune of billions of British pounds. "We were knowingly told verified lies regarding Libya to engage in military operations in North Africa, and we are currently being told verified lies about U.S.-fueled uprisings in Syria. Now we're being told the notoriously deceptive CIA has killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. This is the same CIA that planned to create fake videos of Saddam depicting him as a homosexual, and actually did make fake videos of Osama bin Laden depicting him drinking liquor and consorting with boys. Washington Post CIA unit's wacky idea, or Washington Post quoted, CIA's wacky idea depicts Saddam as gay, stated the agency actually did make a video purporting to show Osama bin Laden and his cronies sitting around a campfire, swigging bottles of liquor and savoring their conquest with boys. One of the former CIA officials recalled chuckling at the memory. The actors were drawn for some of us dark-skinned employees, he said. Well, you know, there are other videos that indicate they actually did have Osama lookalikes, and it's frankly my opinion that it was one of those Osama lookalikes that they brought into that compound, which was probably not an al-Qaeda compound, but a CIA-controlled compound. Of course, you know, it's easy to mix the two because al-Qaeda at the top is a controlled CIA terrorist organization. They may have legitimate terrorists underneath them, but they don't realize that the men at the top giving them orders are taking direction through CIA-controlled terror plans and agenda. So he concludes and says, "Is there any reason at all for us to suddenly start believing our degenerate criminal government now in light of the habitual, continuous murdering campaign of lies and deception directed at both the American people and the world as a whole? Good question. I don't think we can trust the government. I have documented for years, as well as other sources, including yourself, Dr. Stan, the long CIA relationship with Osama and his family, using him as a transfer agent between Saudi money and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan."
Hold that thought, Joe. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at American.
Shalom, this is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters Congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and certainly one of the most significant things that Joel has said, and I am indebted to him for this reference, is the fact that on the 1st of November of last year, Lord James, who is a member of the House of Lords, got up in the evening there in the meeting of the House of Lords and admitted in the course of a presentation that he had been funneling billions of pounds to the terrorists in Ireland, in North Africa. You can actually verify this if you have a search engine. Type in Lord James, Belfast Telegraph, funding terrorists. Be sure it's right. We actually have got the minutes from the House of Lords, where, of course, this is laid out, and Lord James talks about funneling billions of pounds to the terrorists from the Bank of England. Why would the Bank of England be funneling billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Ireland and North Africa? Why, ladies and gentlemen, creating the best enemy money could buy. And we do the same thing here. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government. And, of course, Osama bin Laden has been the boogeyman. Oh, Osama bin Laden's going to get you if you don't watch out. That's why we have to have everybody checked when they get on the airplane, and you take off your shoes and you get a pat down because Osama bin Laden wants to take away your freedom. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the long-term CIA relationship with Osama and his family. We know that after 9/11, the U.S., they grounded Americans from flying. They got a special plane to fly Osama bin Laden's family out of the country. That shows that relationship. Even before 9/11, just before, according to a partner at the American Hospital in Dubai, Osama bin Laden was in the American Hospital the 4th of July to the 14th of July, courtesy of American taxpayers. Osama bin Laden's doctor was Dr. Terry Calloway, and the station chief who met Osama in that same hospital was Larry Mitchell. All this was detailed by a French TV report quoting Le Figaro and L'Agence France-Presse from France. Of course, Osama has severe kidney disease, and that's why he was in the hospital. So how, many ask, would Obama be able to hide out in caves and highly guarded homes in Pakistan without almost daily trips to the hospital or the use of a portable dialysis machine, which was not, by the way, present in the home when the U.S. claims, where the U.S. claims he was shot. Osama would have required dialysis at least every other day and perhaps daily, given the length of time he's been suffering from the disease. Hiding out without a dialysis machine would have been virtually impossible. Well, there's been a story circulating on the Internet called The Nine Lives of Obama, talking about the proposition there have been nine previous media accounts of Obama's death. Now, that's frankly a lot of hype. As you can see from the list that I'll present, only two claim to have actual intimate knowledge of Osama's death, two former presidents of Pakistan, both now dead. And most of these are reports in the press where someone had expressed an opinion that they thought Osama bin Laden was dead. Only Pakistani president in 2002 declared, I know frankly that he is dead, claiming it was from kidney failure. There are several people that have had talks with U.S. intelligence experts who have indicated that he was dead. In something similar, President Zardari of Pakistan said, I've said before that Osama, I don't think he's alive. Zardari said the head of U.S. intelligence in Pakistan told him that the U.S. hasn't heard from Osama bin Laden in 7 years, so they presumed him dead. Well, I don't think you can trust anything the CIA says relative to that, because the CIA was running Osama as one of their terrorist leaders, so they wouldn't tell the truth anyway about that. But perhaps the strongest evidence was an interview between former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, where she told David Frost in a major interview internationally that Omar Sheikh had killed Osama bin Laden back in 2002. So we don't know the actual truth, but there's a tremendous amount of information, and the best probably comes out of Pakistan because they were the ones who were, through the Pakistani ISI, running Osama bin Laden, and they would know. They would have as much contact with him as anyone. Well, one of the things that makes, and of course a lot of praise has been given to American SEAL Team 6 who did this job. I'm frankly a little bit concerned about this particular team or any of these special operations forces. They have been variously described by military persons who have worked with the Joint Special Operations Command that these people are simply like Murder Incorporated. Their business is killing. They're not in the business of converting anyone. They're not in the business of asking questions or doing investigations. They are sent in strictly to execute people. And that's what apparently happened with Osama bin Laden. There was no attempt to capture him. You know, they talked about all of the intelligence value, supposedly, that Osama would give if he really was an opponent of the United States. But we know, of course, that there was no intelligence value because he was being run by the United States. Why capture him to, unless you want to simply fake the intelligence, as they did with who was the mastermind, Sheikh Mohammed?
Sheikh Mohammed?
Yes, right. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. It's incredible what they claim that he had confessed to. It's something that the three CIA teams couldn't accomplish in a lifetime, let alone one person, but it's just as bogus as can be. And, of course, none of this stuff, we have any firsthand information. All of this comes from what the government tells us. It's just like these various scenarios now that the government tells us that they shot Osama bin Laden in the eye. Another one said that a woman put herself in front of them and they had to shoot her, and another talks about the daughter being there. Another talks about two couriers getting shot and then shooting the son up on the top of a stairway. And Osama, they're missing him the first time. I mean, there are just dozens of stories. I mean, I just can't believe somebody can't keep their story straight. And then we have to ask, well, let's show us the body. That's the best proof that they killed Osama bin Laden. The U.S. claims to have rushed the body by helicopter for a sea burial, supposedly to honor the Muslim necessity for an honorable burial when burial in the earth is not possible. Why was burial in the earth not possible? No cemeteries in the small town? And why so soon? And how was this determination made? I'm claiming that this was, the orders were to shoot him and dispose of the body as quickly as possible so that we could make this great big propaganda story to boost Obama's ratings, and no one would know any or be able to prove otherwise. And, of course, the real reason for not burying the body in the ground was that it would provide a constant demand or temptation to exhume the body for verifiable DNA proof. Well, Obama claimed that they did use DNA testing, but announced that the raid and the death, but he did announce the raid and the death of Osama far sooner than such results could have been attained. And there's no explanation of how they had known samples of Osama's DNA to compare the result to. You know, you can't just do a DNA sample without having a known, or a DNA test without having a known sample of a person's DNA. And to do a cross-match of DNA with other family members would have taken even longer. The USA, frankly, is lying again. U.S. media is now covering up for these improbable DNA claims. They're now claiming that DNA testing is still underway. It wasn't used to confirm Obama's death, they say. Instead, facial recognition was deployed. Well, perhaps, but there's various stories from government spokesmen saying that the shooters are 90% certain it's Osama bin Laden. Well, you know, if you're 90% certain, that's not good enough. You really need to keep the body around and assure that it is tested. I mean, the police don't shoot somebody and then go bury the body. They put it in the morgue and they put out a call for relatives to come in and verify that this is the person. But given the fact that the U.S. has used at least one pretty good look-alike for Osama in several of their fake videos, it is likely that one of these hapless people was instructed to go to this compound in Abu Tabad and was a setup for faking the death and capture of Osama bin Laden. I mean, certainly if they go, the government goes to all the trouble to take down the World Trade Center and blame it on terrorism, they could certainly do a job like this, you know, without any compulsion, the moral compulsion about the innocent people that were killed. Quickly removing the body and tossing it in the ocean is prima facie evidence that the U.S. did not want anyone to have access to the body for identification purposes. And this means it almost assuredly was not the real Obama or Osama bin Laden. And if the U.S. had such reverence for the Muslim dead, why did they just leave the others to rot in the compound? Why did only Obama merit this extraordinary courtesy? And then we may ask, where are the pictures? U.S. Special Forces supposedly filmed the raid, had cameras on their helmets. None of that's going to be released. One faked picture did make the rounds of the Internet, but it was a crude forgery with Obama's bearded lower face blended into a head that was so damaged by explosions it could not match the description of a man killed with a shot to the head. The real pictures, which a few select yes-men in Congress have seen, they say, are never to be released, supposedly out of concern for the sensitivities of children, and so as not to give rise to more outrage by pro-Muslim groups. Well, the real reason is obvious, to make sure no one can investigate U.S. claims that it was bin Laden. And then where are the guns? The U.S. team came into the compound, guns blazing, saying they feared for their lives, but according to Reuters, photographed acquired by Reuters, and taken about an hour after the U.S. assault, said there were no guns, no weapons, just pools of blood and other dead people. Three dead men lying in pools of blood. And why the large house? If you're trying to hide and not try to draw attention to yourself, why pick a huge house in a small town that towers over the rest of the buildings with high walls and barbed wire? I mean, talk about a high profile. This sounds more like a house concocted with high power or connected with high-powered people or governments. Perhaps it was a safe house for CIA's Osama lookalike, who they betrayed when he lost his usefulness. When Saddam Hussein, for example, wanted to hide, he went literally underground into a hidey hole where he, too, was betrayed. So I find this very illogical that Osama bin Laden, as smart as he was, would have supposedly hidden in the tallest, biggest house in a small little town, which could easily be seen by satellite. I mean, I'm just not buying that this is a good hiding place. Well, the various Pakistani accounts as well, Stan. The Pakistani government is an outright lackey of the U.S. Nevertheless, stories ranged in the press from Pakistani rage to Pakistani outright collusion and assent to the U.S. raid. The official Pakistani government praised the U.S. raid, and the unofficial Pakistani spokesman wove in additional details to try and bolster the U.S. claim that it really was Osama that was killed. One of the Pakistani sources quoted senior Pakistani officials. Notice, no first-hand information, just quoting other Pakistani security officials. Said Osama bin Laden's daughter, 12 years old, had been captured in the raid and confirmed that her father was captured alive and shot dead by the U.S. Special Forces during the first minutes of the operation. But the account didn't contain one single first-hand piece of knowledge. Every journalist is merely saying what a government official tells them. Why do we not hear from the girl herself or from one of Osama's wives that was supposedly either captured, shot in the leg, or killed? Daily Mail reports the wife of bin Laden is now said to be at the center of a custody battle. U.S. wants to interrogate her, but it has been rejected by Pakistan. This could all be so much political theater. Pakistan doesn't say no to the United States. Why would you kill an unarmed Osama and then battle over interrogating his wife, they write. In time, this will not look like a poorly thought out operation. The U.S. just killed the guy, Osama, unarmed and not resisting, who could provide the most information on Al-Qaeda. That's assuming that he really is a terrorist leader. As for interrogating his wife, the U.S. just wants to shut her up, and they have to be really concerned about what the 12-year-old might say someday if she ever gets released, or if she ever was really captured. I mean, who knows if she was really there? You've got to remember that the United States lost one of their stealth helicopters. There were two of them that came into the compound. That means everybody else had to get out on the other helicopter. Alex Jones had another media coup this week in presenting it to his audience, high-ranking official formerly with the State Department, who had some really important insider confessions about the false flag operations run by the U.S. government. This is referring to Dr. Steve R. Piezhnik, who is a top U.S. government insider, a man who held numerous different influential positions under three different presidents and still works with the Department of Defense. He shockingly told Alex Jones yesterday that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 and that 9/11 was a false flag operation.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, they create our reality. Time you started thinking.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Shalom, this is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters Congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, I'm Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to your newsletter, how they could get your books on the on strategic relocation, the secure home, building a secure room in your home. And Sydney, why don't you tell them how to get those, and then we'll get back to the rest of the story.
Well, thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue of what we're talking about today by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. My books from my preparedness career as a high security architect are also on my website, and there are three major books, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, probably the best-selling book in the world now on relocation for security. It covers all the various threats and how you draw contingency plans. There is really no technically safe place in the world. Every place has some compromise and some disadvantages and advantages, so it's a fairly complex decision people have to make, and that's why the book is so important for people. My major book in the architectural field is called The Secure Home, 700 pages, big as a telephone book, everything from A to Z on how to design and construct a high-security residence or retreat, or do a remodeling with all of the high-security features and self-sufficiency features that we talk about in the book. And then the other book is How to Implement a High-Security Shelter in the Home. That's to how to do a safe room in an existing room. And all of these, three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927. In fact, they're good sellers. They help us. But it's information that you need because, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving into a very difficult time. Can we save America? I don't know. I would, if I were a betting person, I'd say that I'd bet on the other side. But I do believe it's a spiritual battle. I do believe if we had revival in America, people turn back to God. We expose the invisible government and the secret societies working behind the scenes that America could be saved because there's not very many people on the other side. It's just, are there enough people in America who value freedom or are willing to take a stand? And can we, of course, get people to turn back to God? Because our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. You can't have a government with limited power unless you have moral people. And they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and the mention of Christianity out of our schools. Of course, Congress can open with a prayer. The Senate can open with a prayer. Even the Supreme Court opens by acknowledging that it operates under the authority of God. But don't you dare mention God in one of our schools because they want to turn our children against God and get them to embrace all these crazy ideas. And, of course, with there's no religious foundation for this country, America will fail. But you need to have alternatives. You need to know how you're going to be able to survive, and that's what Joel's books offer, a tremendous amount of information and insight, and let's hope we don't need it. But if I was a wagering man, I'd say we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and you're going to have to know how to look after yourself and your family. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I mean, that's the basic theory that I work under and that you work under, is that we have to fight for our liberty, but we'd be foolish not to prepare for a takedown someday. We'd be foolish not to prepare for wars that they might bring upon us. We have to survive the destruction, the social unrest, the chaos, the other things that are very real threats to our life. I mean, petty terrorism is a small thing compared to what could happen with major cutoff of services if the L.A. basin, for example, erupts in social unrest, and even good people would be forced to pillage if there were no influx of food and water and other services into the city. There's any number of scenarios where that can happen. And worse yet, when you have an international war, a world war, where the United States is attacked with nuclear weapons, it's absolutely guaranteed that there's going to be a period of at least 6 months to 2 years when there's no food other than what you can grow. And people who are living in the cities don't have any retreats prepared, any way of out, or anybody in rural areas to help survive are going to be in very, very difficult shape. So people, while we listen to these talk radio shows about preserving our liberty and we do our best to get informed, to elect people, we cannot depend and should not depend on politicians to save us or even the few statesmen that we might elect. We've got to prepare to be self-sufficient and to be able to survive what's coming in the world, and that's why I try to do both, as you do, Dr. Stan.
Right.
So, returning to the brief, we're talking about Dr. Steve Piezhnik speaking on the Alex Jones show about how Osama bin Laden had died in 2001. He was also said that he was prepared to testify in front of a grand jury how a top general told him directly that 9/11 was a false flag inside job. I'd like to know the name of that general and the specific circumstances.
Actually carry a book written by Robert Byrd, who is a high-level CIA official. It's called See No Evil. In the preface to the book, he says that one of the highest levels FBI officials said off the record that when the dust settles after 9-1-1, people will realize that what happened that day was not an intelligent failure. It was an intelligence triumph. How could 9-1-1 be a triumph, for intelligence agencies? Well, got us into the wars over there. They needed an excuse, they needed an excuse for Pearl Harbor. They needed an excuse to get us into a war with Egypt in 1967. Didn't work out, but they tried to sink the USS Liberty. They needed an excuse to get us into the war with the Muslim world, and boy, they sure got one on September 11th. Go right ahead.
Well, back in April 2002, over 9 years ago, Pierzhnek told Alex Jones that bin Laden had already been dead for months and that the government was waiting for the most politically expedient time to roll out his corpse. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pierzhnek would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know, apparently, having personally met bin Laden and worked with him during the proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Gezhnev would be in a position to know.